All right, welcome. My name is Pastor B. Wallace.
And I'm Keontae McDonald, and you're tuned into Simplify Complexity, a relationship podcast.
All right, that's right. So we want to welcome you to another day, another podcast. We are always honored that you would join us. Keontae, man, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty good, man. We got some rare rain out here in California. So we have that rain,
dry. But taking what's happening in Chicago and that area, man, I'm grateful. Bring the rain on, right? Freezing vortex stuff they're talking about. Some out of a movie. So, hey, before we get to our topic, which is going to be a fun topic for those that are tuning in, we're talking about living with the slob, right? And so what is that experience? What are things that we can do? But before we get to that, this entire year of 2019, I want to do something every month a little bit different where we're going to do like a prize giveaway. And so if you go to our website, simplifycomplexity.org, go there, you'll see an area where you can sign up to enter to win. Just leave your email. And then every month, we're going to kind of give away something different and just kind of do something fun. And so if you want a chance to win a book or win gift cards, win T-shirts, whatever it is, go to the website right now and make sure that you enter to win. So that way you can be the first winner of February.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, man. So living with the slob. Now, are you a slob? Let's just kind of put it. Come on, be honest, man.
I would say I'm not. I'm not one by trade.
Okay. Now, if I was to talk to your wife, that might be a whole different story, right?
Well, you know, like in the midst of life, life does get busy. You know, I would say I'm a little messy, but I'm not. I haven't gotten my degree in being a slob. If that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. And so now when I kind of brought this up, you were saying how this was on your mind because you were talking to somebody and I feel like newlyweds, and you mentioned newlyweds, cause I feel like newlyweds kind of deal with this the most because they're first kind of living together and it's like the cultural shock of somebody else that you have to see every day and they don't go away. You know what I mean? It's like one thing if you're dating somebody, right, Keontae?
Yeah.
And you're dating them and it's like you say goodbye, but you know, once you get married, it's like there's no bye. They wake up with you, they go to sleep, and you see a whole lot of new things that can really challenge the relationship.
Right. They're just there constantly. They can't go away. You know what I mean? And it just gets real interesting because when you're dating somebody, you think, you know, oh, well, everybody's kind of like me. But once you get with somebody, you start to notice like, okay, I put this cereal in the pantry, but this person puts cereal in the refrigerator. That's a little different.
Now, come on, man. I think I've been there where you're just kind of like in autopilot, right? And you put the milk in the pantry. You never done that?
Yeah, I've done that a couple times.
You know, for those who are living with a slob and you're not married, because we're mainly going to be talking about those who are married, because technically you don't want to build on the wrong foundation and be living together when you're not married. And there's multiple reasons why, but the most important is because that's not God's desire for us when it comes to relationships.
Right.
But so the first thing that comes to my mind is if you're not married and you're living with a slob, it's like, get out, you know, like the movie, right?
Right.
But I say that jokingly, but also just those are some red flags. Those are some things that you need to really consider. Like, okay, wait a minute, I'm not married, but yet I'm putting up with some very troubling things. Now, you can take some things that we're going to talk about that would apply to a married couple, but just know that it's different when you're married and you're not married. And when you're not married, you know, those are things that you're looking at. And mind you, even if you're not living together, you do want to look at their hygiene. You do want to look at, okay, when you are over their place, what does it look like? And is it only the living room? Do you look in the bathroom? You know, you just want to kind of have an idea of who somebody is.
Right. That's good. You know, red flags are, I think, the key word that you said is just red flags, because you can tell a lot about a person about how they keep themselves up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not just them physically and their appearance, but how they handle, you know, the folding of their clothes, how they handle how their kitchen looks and their kitchen sink looks. You know what I mean? Like, do they have a handle on life or are they just kind of disheveled, you know?
Right. Well, and there's truth to it, because sometimes we grow up and as a result of us growing up with parents that can kind of handle a lot of those things for us, we get used to that, to where we've never really had to clean a whole house. You know what I mean? It's just we had to clean our room, or you had to kind of clean this portion. And so when you're living with somebody, there's things that maybe you didn't think were disgusting.
Right.
But until you live with somebody else, they're like, okay, that's disgusting.
Right. Like, you can't be just cutting your toenails anywhere and then just leaving them there. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Okay. Okay. I'll give an example. For man, you know, we start shaving. And as we shave, we leave little hairs maybe around the sink. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for you, when you were single, when you were man alone, that could work. You can maybe come back 2 days later and wash that off, you know. But right. when you were living with somebody, I mean, for a woman, she's going to be looking at that and be like, ugh, like there's hairs. Like, I don't even want to brush my teeth.
Right. Like, what are you doing?
Right. Or do you even rinse, you know, your toothpaste out from the sink? I'm talking about just things that we don't think about. Did you flush the toilet? Are you not flushing the toilet? When's the last time you cleaned the shower? And man, I mean, it could go on and on and on, right?
It can go on and on, man.
So, what do we do? If you're married, what do you do, man?
Man, you know, there's a lot of ways you can attack that, man. Just like you said, like, I had an experience talking to one of my homeboys this weekend about this situation. And it was interesting, the dialogue that we did have, you know what I mean? It was dealing with him and his wife, and he's more of a clean, you know, neat freak, OCD type of person. And he actually thought his wife was the same way before he married her, but now that they've been married for a few months, he's seeing something different.
He's seeing the dark side.
Right. So he's just trying to wrap his head around, like, you know, we should both be in charge of just keeping this and that clean or whatnot. And then he was like, well, you know, and then I thought about hiring a maid just to help her out because I know she's busy with her business and so on and so forth. And then he's like, well, then she said, yeah, that's how our maid. And he's like, well, you know what? I don't really want to spend that money for a maid. You know what I mean? And it's just an interesting dynamic in that marriage. And the conclusion that we kind of came to, I'm just like, if that bothers you to a point where it really frustrates you and kind of gets you out of your lane and out of your pocket, now I was like, what would it be for you to just take 1 hour of your day every day for the stuff that she doesn't clean, you clean it? And you can look at that as a sacrifice, but more so you look at it as an investment into your marriage. Because eventually, as you continue to just invest, just like you would invest in a stock. If I bought a stock in Apple right now, tomorrow I won't be able to see a return from it. But give me a couple years, give me a few years, and I'm going to, you know, I'll be able to see a return on that investment I made. Same thing in your marriage. You make a little investment here and there every other week, every other month. And eventually your wife is going to start to catch on and be like, you know, maybe I should, you know, clean this up before he can get to it. Or, you know, I don't want him to have to work full time and come home and have to clean everything. Maybe I should put my 2 cents in. And that's the fruition of your investment.
And I like where you're going. Mm-hmm. It's just I want to put myself in the shoes of some of our listeners and in the shoes of maybe somebody who's dealing with that particular issue. And I mean, that can be extremely hard.
Right.
When you are with somebody who is a slob and you have to be around that day after day. And then so what you're saying is, hey, well, just go ahead and spend the extra hour and pick up after them. And that can wear down. That can be difficult to do. Maybe it might work for a month. Maybe it might work for 2 months, even for a year. But now we're talking about a lifetime. We're talking about 20 years. We're talking about 40 years. And that other person is not. What are they bringing to the table?
Uh-huh.
And so I guess for me, one of the things that I would add to that, because I hear what you're saying, and I think what you are saying and what listeners should really grab hold of is we have to be willing to make sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I feel like we make sacrifices in relationships without good communication and without setting boundaries.
Oh, that's
and
key.
If we make sacrifices without good communication and setting boundaries, then people continually step over boundaries, which becomes a form of abuse. And something as simple as picking up socks can begin to feel as a form of you're taking advantage of me. And that breeds a very negative spirit that results in a very negative mindset toward the marriage.
Ooh, yeah, that's good. Yeah, because living in that vein, it can breed resentment, you know, over time.
Total resentment. Uh-huh. And that's what ends up happening. And so there's a couple things that came to my mind. And I want to go with this one first, which is communication.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first thing is really, have you truly communicated in a healthy way? Man, please, I just want to say that one more time. In a healthy way. Because sometimes we can communicate what we don't like, but we do it in an unhealthy way, meaning it's not really productive. And so we tell that person, can you pick up your socks? Or can you do this? And this is nasty. And that's not always helpful.
Right.
And so it's just a matter of really communicating, hey, I'm really troubled by these things, and this is what's on my heart. And let me share with you in a way that's productive versus destructive.
Right, right. That's good. Yeah, man. It's just so hard. And another thing too, I wanna pull up. As we were thinking about this topic, I just happened just to Google just some questions like what does a messy person, what's going on in life? What does that scientifically show or statistically show? And okay. and I picked up some interesting things. Couple of things. It said the sight of a messy room could also be a sign that a person might be entering into a depression. And it said, especially if the person that's, being messy was once a clean meat freak or something like that. So right. We also have to be observant of, the changes in our mate. You know what I mean? Like, were you always like this or, is there something wrong? I think that goes around the lines of communication and just being open and having discussions, because then you might be able to see like, man, she's really been having a hard time at work, or, might have new mothers. They're having a hard time. It's their first time having a child, so they don't have the same energy that they had before they had that child. Things aren't as important as it pertains to taking care of that child. And we have to be looking for those signs and very observant to help people along the way in those things.
And there's things that we don't even realize the bad habits that we have. Mm-hmm. And so because we've lived alone or we've lived by ourselves maybe for so long, and we've only had, us in our rooms to look at our mess, we don't realize how bad that can come across. And so something as simple as, not washing out your sink after you brush your teeth and you just kind of have spit there. That could be something that you just overlook, and you're not meaning to do it. You've just overlooked it for so many years. And so communicating is critical. It's really the first step.
Yeah,
it really is. And so it's a matter of sitting down, not in a heated way, but communicating specifically those things that are troubling you. And then it's a matter of coming up with boundaries. And so that was kind of another thing that I wrote down, is it's important to have boundaries, mm-hmm. because we can come to a place to where we're enabling rather than helping somebody. Mm. And that's where, though, somebody might say, make sacrifices and say, okay, well, I'm going to pick up after you. At what point are you enabling them to where they're just continuing to just say, well, I don't care. I'm just going to leave my stuff on the floor.
Right.
And so it's a matter of communicating and then setting up boundaries and saying, okay, well, these are some of the things that I'm looking for. What are you looking for? And it's a matter of kind of working together, but also being patient. Because if somebody does have a bad habit, it's hard to break a bad habit. And one of the key things that I think we need to have as somebody is growing, not to be a slob. First, do they recognize that they have trouble? That's, that's a whole other issue. But
right.
If somebody's growing not to be a slob, we got to be patient. Mm-hmm. We got to be merciful to them, just as God gives us mercy. We need to give that mercy to others. And so can you imagine how much mercy you've had to give your wife and how much mercy she's had to give you?
Exactly. And especially over a large amount of time, it's just a lot, man. It's just a lot. Another thing too, I want to bring up, actually kind of going away from marriage. I mean, it still pertains to marriage, but even those that are dating dating a person, I've come to live into the philosophy of you get what you put up with. You know what I mean? Yep. So even before you get married to somebody, let's say somebody wasn't as clean or, they was just as messy before you married them, when you were dating them, before you knew them, before you guys got a forever commitment thing going on, you can't expect someone to change at the drop of a dime just because their last name changed the day after.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Just like you said earlier. Say that
again.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what it is. We think as though marriage is like the poof, like that's the answer to everything. And you get married and all our troubles beforehand are gone.
Right, exactly. like if your wife didn't know how to cook before you got married, you don't expect her to just know how to cook right after you get married.
Right, exactly. And then, she might be expecting you to cook.
Exactly.
Matter of fact, that's going to make for a good episode. We got to throw that episode in. We help talk the cook in the home.
Right, right, right.
Something like that.
So when it comes to that stuff, you have to just be aware of those flags and it's just of the things that you put up with before you make that commitment. Because if you don't say nothing about it when you're dating and when you're courting and when you're engaged, it's going to be even harder to try to change that habit when you just pop up out the blue and say, hey, you need to just go ahead and start being clean. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
you said such a good point, because it's not to say you can't address the issue later, but it makes it so much harder because if you've basically told somebody, if you've dated a slob and right. you know that they were a slob, you married a slob, then they're looking at you like, wait, this is who I am.
Right.
You married me this way, so why all the extra pressure, you know, to change me, unless this has been an area of my life that you've never liked, but you've never mentioned, but you married me anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden you've had it, you know, into where you're snapping at somebody. And that's where I go back to good communication. Good communication isn't snapping at people. Mm-hmm. And yes, you've told them 10 times. I get it. But when somebody has a area that they need to work on, we have to be patient with them just as God is patient with us.
Mm-hmm. And that's key.
Now, I want to add to that because I know somebody's listening. Like, well, at what point, you know, do we begin to put our foot down? And that's where, yes, you want to have boundaries. You want to keep working on solutions. And so I kind of mentioned that word boundaries a couple of times. And so maybe we can think of an example to kind of deal with that word boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So one that kind of comes to my mind is, let's say somebody really struggles to do the laundry, right?
Right.
And so you might talk about that, and now you're communicating as far as them picking up their clothes. And so you might say, well, hey, what's one thing you can handle in the home?
Right.
You know what? I'm willing to handle this portion, but can you handle this portion? Or I'm willing to make this adjustment. Can you make this adjustment? And they might say, okay, well, yes, I'll make this adjustment. And then maybe there might be some reminders. There might be something that you do to help them. They maybe they keep forgetting about X, Y, and Z. And so is it getting, and actually I kind of like where you went. Is it getting a maid?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was saying, well, I don't want to put the money there.
Right.
But if that money will help better their marriage, if it will resolve an issue, then it's well spent.
Right. You can look at that. And you can look at that as an investment.
It's an investment. So it's just a matter of thinking out. To me, we have to think outside the box and keep working for solutions. And here's the last example I'll give is, we don't show the same mercy and patience with our spouses as we do with our children.
Mm.
And here's the example I'll give. If your child comes home and they're failing and they have an F on their report card, you're not going to immediately just start chewing them out and basically say, hey, I'm not talking to you.
Right.
Because they're going to, you know, how is that going to resolve the issue? What you're going to do is you're going to confront the issue. You're going to tell them it's unacceptable. You're going to communicate. You're going to set boundaries. But you're also going to try to figure out where the problem is. You're going to give them a tutor. And you're going to work on raising their grade. Now, if it comes back the next semester or trimester, whatever it is, and they raise their grade from an F to a D, that's mm-hmm. still not very good, but you're going to acknowledge their growth.
Right.
You're going to praise that and say, okay, we're on the right track. So
right.
My question, Keontae, is why don't we do the same thing in relationships? All of a sudden, we expect somebody to go from an F to an A, and anything in between is like, that's unacceptable. And I don't care. I don't want to hear it. We don't commend and we don't, you know, encourage the progress. We only see where they're not.
Right. You're so right in that, man. You know, and that can become dangerous after time, you know, when the person feel like they're just not doing good enough, you know, they aren't good enough, you know, that can do a lot. And we don't really look at it that deep. You know what I mean? But it is that deep.
It is. You know? It's super deep. Because I got a D, but I still get yelled at just like I got yelled at as an F. Now I'm like, forget it. What's the point?
Right.
I worked my butt off to get this D.
Yeah, man, that's good. The last thing I just want to say, man, I just want to bring in my own experience. Let me close out this podcast. Just bringing my own experience in this. Now, I have, most of you know, I have two kids under two, and boy, whew, just dealing with these little people running around my house, it just becomes a lot. And we went through a spell where, like, you know, clothes were kind of everywhere, or, you know, like when we got done changing the kids, we kind of just throw their clothes like at the foot of the stairs type thing, and I was supposed to pick them up and put them in one place. But it never used to really happen until one day my wife, she really started us kind of a flow chart, like a chore chart of things to handle. Like, you know, so I would do laundry on Fridays or Thursday nights or whatnot. And then my problem used to be folding the clothes, and, you know, kind of still is or whatnot. But then we would set up like, okay, on Saturday, we both off work. So let's just have a clothes folding party. That's what my wife would call it, a clothes folding party.
There you go, see?
You know, and then to aid with that, with just getting the laundry done and getting the clothes in one central place, we went and invested and bought 3 baskets. So now we have a basket at the foot of the stairs, a basket in our room, and a basket in the laundry room. So now we can, you know, we have places where we can put those clothes and it can be in one centralized place and get things done more efficiently and while tidying up our house and making it look clean still.
Man, and what you did and what you just described was a process in which you guys communicated and what you guys, you know, set up, you know, what's your plan? What are your boundaries? What are you guys trying to do? What are you trying to work toward? And you guys made adjustments. And I feel like that's one, and I want to close with making adjustments. And one last thing after that, better or for worse. Mm-hmm. And making adjustments is critical. That's where, hey, are we going to hire a maid? Are we going to go ahead and purchase some more laundry baskets? You know, are we going to set up a routine, a plan? Are we going to do it together?
Right.
You know what I mean? So you guys, so basically that was her way of saying, I know you struggle with folding clothes. So let's have what did you call it?
A clothes folding party.
A clothes folding party. You know, so that was a way, that was basically, she was saying, okay, I'm going to work with you, baby. You're on my nerves right now, but I'm going to work with you. But that's the thing. We have to make those adjustments and work, you know, together to get to the same place, because it doesn't help if only one person gets there. Mm-hmm. When you're in a marriage, you both have to get to the finish line, not just one.
Right.
Now, the last thing that I want to say is better or for worse. Don't let your mind go to an unhealthy place. And it's so easy, the more that you're in a situation where you're discouraged, a situation where there's a lack of progress, where you're frustrated, till your mind goes to an unhealthy place. And you continue to think about, okay, well, this is never going to work, and this is never, and never this, and they're this, and they're that, to where now you've opened up this window of opportunity. You've opened up this door called divorce. Mm-hmm. And don't view divorce as an option. That is not an option. So once you remove that option, then you're looking for different avenues, different approaches to work for a solution.
Right.
And there's nowhere, I'm sorry, I'm sure for some of us, we wish it was in there, but there's nowhere in there saying that, hey, it's okay to get divorced if they're a slob.
Right. It's just not.
It's just not. And so that's where, don't let your mind go there. Keep your mind in a healthy place, focused on healthy solutions.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that was a good talk, man. Nah, man, that was it. This was a good talk. I think this is a very informative session we had today.
Yeah, I think so. And then ultimately, I really want to encourage our listeners that just know it's so much easier to talk about it than to actually live through it. Yeah. And so we understand that there are different dynamics. We can't address them all, but that's where, and actually that I'm so glad I remember this. I wrote this down, is counseling. Sometimes when we struggle to find healthy communication about issues, that's where a counselor helps you to be that mediator. And mm-hmm. so if this is really an issue to where it's causing major friction in your marriage and you've worked on communication, but it hasn't seemed to work, then you need to pull in a counselor, pull in somebody that can really objectively look at your situation and give advice specific for you.
Right. That's good.
All right, man, you want to close this in prayer?
Oh, yeah, no problem. Father, we just come before you, Lord, just first and foremost, Lord, thank you for this podcast, Father. We thank you for our listeners, Father, who tune in every day, Father, just to hear what we have to talk about, Father. We ask that you just bless those, Lord, who may be dealing with this situation, Father, whether they're living with a slob, Father, or, you know, a person that's just going through a tough time and they're getting a little bit messy, Father, but we ask that you just bless those, Lord, in that situation, Father, to just have grace, Father. Grace and patience, Father, to just work with their spouse, Father. We ask that you just build up their communication, Father, and allow them to effectively and communicate in a healthy way to get through their problems, Father, and work out a plan, Father, so that their household is strong yet again, Father. And just to continue to build on that foundation, just to be able to talk through anything that might be going on in their marriage, Father, that might be a little prick or, you know, something that's trying to lead them astray, like a, you know, pile of clothes being left out or, you know, laundry not done, Father. We ask that you just help them, Lord, to overcome that and get over that and get through it, Lord. They can remain strong, Father. We ask that you continue to bless us, Father. Continue to watch over us, Lord. Continue to bless this podcast, Father, and everyone involved, Lord. It's in your son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. God bless you. God keep you. Don't forget to go to the website there. We want to encourage you to check out some of the other resources we have. Also, don't forget to enter into our prize giveaway. So go to the website, simplifycomplexity.org, so you get a chance to win our prize this month. God bless you. God keep you. Until next time. Come on, stand up. Put your hands up. Make some noise. Party with me. It's a very union in my family. Place I'd rather be, or people I'd rather see. Where there's two or three, then there the Lord will be. Where the Lord is, then there you'll see me. If the Lord ain't going, then I'm not going. Let us be best minded with the mind of Christ. Let us love one another as you will love I. You need me just as much as I need you, because a body can't function when a body